Good morning. I'm your host, Claudia Shambaugh, welcoming you to the January 1st, 2019 New Year's edition of Ask a Leader. Along with the partial government shutdown being entering its 11th day, I want to direct your attention to Article 5 Convention. That is where the whole U.S. Constitution could be opened up for all manner of revisions. And there are a number of states around this country who have approved reconsideration of that convention. Article 5 is something to watch. If NPR wants to dither around and talk about Elizabeth Warren's silliness in the games and not talk about policy, they're not going to watch Article 5 either, but we will here. So today, for the entire hour, Melanie Silverman, Chief Clinical Officer, and Vivian Earthman, Contracting Lactation Specialist, will break down how their app, Pacify, is a public health game changer, offering full support and a special kind of lifeline to new parents. A wholesome and a hopeful note upon which to start 2019. We'll be right back after a short station break. Welcome back to the show. My guests for the entire hour are Melanie Silverman and Vivian Earthman, both involved in the enterprise of offering care and counsel, a special kind of lifeline to new parents. A little bit about both of them. Melanie Silverman is a registered dietitian and international board certified lactation consultant. She completed her Bachelor's of Art from Indiana University in Chemistry and Spanish and her Master's in Science from Rush University in Clinical Nutrition. Melanie worked 7 years at the University of Chicago Medical Center's Burn Unit, Pediatric Intensive Care Unit, Neonatal Intensive Care Unit, and outpatient clinics, and as well had a private practice for 15 years specializing in picky eaters, food allergies, poor weight gain, and Prader-Willi syndrome. Melanie is currently the Chief Clinical Officer for Pacify, a telehealth mobile application where lactation consultants, dietitians, and nurses are available on demand 24/7 to new moms in 3 minutes or less. The subject of this interview, to get 2019 started on proper footing. Vivian Earthman, who returns to Ask a Leader, is a pediatric nurse and lactation consultant and a contractor with Pacify. Again, we developed this program together since every time we discuss the latest coverage, she's seized with the need to advance personal and public health outcomes. Her training includes the Royal Halifax Infirmary in Yorkshire County in the United Kingdom and the Hospitalière Universitaire in Lausanne, Switzerland. Her nursing experience stateside, where she relocated to Orange County in the 1990s, includes Western Medical Center, Children's Hospital of Orange County at Mission Hospital, Saddleback Memorial Hospital, and now her current businesses as a breastfeeding consultant. Here to take up with prospective parents, new parents, supportive family members and friends, employers and healthcare providers, both Melanie Silverman and Vivian Earthman join me in studio. Welcome, Melanie, and welcome back to the show, Vivian.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, let's take it at the top. Vivian's been on. We've got a little bit of the background, but Melanie, let's take it at the top with you. Get acquainted with you, your nursing aspirations, your nursing career, since you have quite a range of pediatric care.
Yes. Well, I was thinking about this before the interview was starting, and I think my first exposure to breastfeeding was from my mom explaining to me when I was very young that she hadn't had plans to breastfeed in the early 1970s because really no one was breastfeeding. I think it was around maybe in that early 70s, around 20% of women that initiated breastfeeding, which is quite low. And my father...
That means 80%. We're letting that product go down the drain or go out the body.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to let that all sink in. Still.
Let it sink. And then what happened was, I think she had a discussion with my father who said, you know, I have this master's in anatomy and I'm going to law school. And it seems just naturally correct that you should probably breastfeed our kids if you don't mind. And she ended up breastfeeding all three of us. And I had just always heard very beneficial experiences from my mom about it.
What did she say?
She said it was easy.
Okay.
She said it was convenient, that she didn't have to mix any bottles. She said she felt it was a bonding experience. I think she just thought it was a really good experience. I didn't hear her complain about it, because as I moved through lactation, I asked, did you ever have these kinds of issues? And she said no.
And these experiences were not her based on exhausting the literature. It wasn't necessarily literature. It's just her own understanding of how it was all working.
There was no Google then, right? So
right,
she
right.
couldn't but she couldn't
too many
pre-populate,
manuals.
Right? She couldn't pre-populate herself with anything. She just was, it's pure unadulterated experience. And so I grew up in that environment. And then what happened was, went to the University of Chicago, and
which was progressive in terms of pediatric care?
Oh, always. I have a soft spot in my heart for
that
university.
Okay, well, we've got to
get
them their
due. Oh, yes. So what happened was, I was asked to work in the burn unit, and what happened is I worked with pediatric burn patients, and I became very interested because in a burn unit, you not only have to heal your wounds, but you have to grow, right? Those children are in there. So I became obsessed with pediatrics and growth. My managers looked at me and said, hey, we think if you can do pediatrics in a burn unit, you can move to the pediatric ICU. So I went to the pediatric ICU and then slowly went to the NICU. Now, what happened was, it's overwhelming, as Vivian can say, in a NICU. It's a completely different experience in a hospital. And there's tons of infant formulas. And I was obsessed with learning the different infant formulas. But I kept reading, when breast milk is not available, use this formula. And I thought, why isn't breast milk available? And at the time at the University of Chicago, we didn't have very good breastfeeding rates. And I decided at that point in the NICU to become a lactation consultant. I thought, I'm a registered dietitian. I need to know the formulas, of course. But then I really wanted to understand pediatrics on the whole, and so became a lactation consultant. And I just have to give credit to the three registered nurse IBCLCs who trained me. It was a very slow training session in the NICU. And I have a very soft spot in my heart for all three of those nurses.
Slow training shows dedication to the proposition.
It did. And also, it was such a critical environment with the moms with these sick babies that it was really a beautiful way for me to learn about lactation. And then I did some private practice, and then Pacify floated into my life.
Now, there's one chapter missing.
What is it?
I know that you have raised children. So you had your first person experience in this, too.
I did.
To the extent you can tell us.
I had a first person called Lucas, who I breastfed. I needed actually some assistance from a lactation consultant because, and I tell people this all the time, even if you are something, doesn't mean you can help yourself.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And so I had some assistance from a lactation consultant and breastfed him for about a year, and then breastfed my daughter, Sydney, for about 22 months. And it was a great experience, but being a lactation consultant, I have such respect for lactation consultants because we really take care of people, or we're taken care of in a very high need, high stress situation. So yes, I continued my mom's legacy of breastfeeding little kids and trying also to do that with Pacify.
And Vivian, you maybe just briefly, some of your aspirations that brought you to where you are today in attending to lactation needs.
When I was working at Chocolate Mission a few years ago, I would sometimes go float over to the NICU, as they say in nurse speak, and I just was really interested in breastfeeding and became more and more interested in it. So I, you know, took the first class, and then, you know, a couple of years later wanted to do the lactation consultant class, and I just felt really valued whenever they would want me to float over there, like send Vivian, because, you know, when you're a lactation consultant, you can help all the moms in there too. So that became very interesting and really fascinating to me. And I think what kind of led me down that path was my first son breastfed with no problems at all, was like natural. Second one, some completely different experience. And so then I got to see what it was like to be frustrated and not have a baby that latch and that kind of thing. So that's what made me want to, why didn't that work out? Why, how should I been, should I have been helped? That kind of thing.
So you were in a position to see the need for not a parent now, not just a first time parent, but a second time, that's its whole additional layer of complications,
right,
that you as consultants can address. Well, now about your enterprise, Melanie, how does pacify.com work, the telehealth mobile app that you've developed?
Well, I just love talking about this, so I'm happy to answer this question. The first thing I want to say is that the app was developed by two men in Washington, D.C., Ben London and George Brandes. They came to me in 2014. Ben actually happens to be my husband's first cousin, so this is a little bit of a family company. And he sat down with me, called me up and said, "Hey, tell me everything there is to know about being a lactation consultant and dietitian." And I said, "Ben,
were you ready? Were you ready for that? Like, gosh, I'm
well,
glad you asked."
Well, I knew him for so long. He's been part of my life for so long because I married his first cousin and I've known him since he's very young. And I said, "Why are you asking me this?" He said, just tell me. So we had a series of conversations in the summer of 2014. He was working in healthcare consulting. And what he was seeing is women going to the emergency rooms for lactation support. Now, that is not a good use of resources at all.
Right. And that isn't even taking into consideration what the women went through to get to that kind of facility. On both ends of that equation, a malfunction of major sorts.
That is correct. And inappropriate use of resources. And so we had a series of conversations that were very interesting. I remember sitting in the kitchen with my feet up on the table thinking, what is he doing? Asked me some great questions. And by August said to me, "Look, I'm working at this and I'm seeing this inappropriate use. I want to build an app and I want to put people like you in this app so that people don't have to get out of their houses. They don't have to put the baby in the carrier. They don't have to make appointments. I want them to press a button and get you right away. And by the way, will you be my chief clinical officer and build the network to answer the calls?" And I said, "Okay." And so he and his very close friend, George, started the app. So the three of us started this conversation about how we were going to help moms. And essentially what Pacify is a mobile application that new moms download to their smartphone for instant access to lactation consultants, dietitians, and nurses. The way I like to describe it to everybody,
yes,
is that it's pretty much the Uber of breastfeeding support. When you call that car, it comes. When you call that lactation consultant, she shows up.
She's a driver, but you're the car. Right? You're the vessel.
Yeah. So I have a group of people that work for us. They work when they want, and we can discuss that. But that's essentially what Pacify is.
Okay. And the rate that you are contacted is pacify.com. That gets everybody where they need to go.
That's great. Yeah. That is the website to where everybody should start. And it's a beautiful website created to illustrate what we do.
So my question when I was considering this whole idea was whether you had taken models from elsewhere, whether Ben and George had taken models from elsewhere, but you're saying there are other apps that are rendering a whole different other service, and it was the registering in their minds that the malappropriation of services that led to how to put this together. So this template, it came from whole cloth.
This is, you know, well, I will say this, and they could speak to this much more logically than I could, but I will say this, that at the time, there were other app-like models of healthcare blooming.
Right.
Nothing as concentrated as this pediatric kind of suite of experts.
Okay.
Certainly not pediatric dietitians with lactation consultant nurses. It's very specified and it's very much in mother baby. We kind of say pacifies from pregnancy to preschool, right?
Right.
Because women can call a dietitian, let's say they're gaining too much weight in their pregnancy, or they're not gaining enough weight, or they feel nauseous. Mm-hmm. And then you have your baby for the breastfeeding, and then the baby gets a fever, you call the nurse, and then the baby starts, you know, biting you, and you call the lactation consultant, and you go back to work. And so it's this really nice, beautiful chemistry of these three disciplines. But it was blooming. Telemedicine, telehealth was blooming at
right.
that time in 2014.
Right.
But they just, the neat thing about Ben and George that I've experienced over the last 4 years is really interesting to hear their perspectives, because they can take the long view, a very broad view of what was going on. And that's what the call was for me in 2014. Like, hey, we're seeing this utilization in the ER that doesn't make any sense. We think we can make this better. and then got down to the nitty-gritty of building the app.
So the prospective, we're calling them clients or patients?
We're going to call them, what do we call them, Vivian? Do we know? We call them moms.
I call them moms.
We call them moms.
Yeah,
so
moms.
Sometimes dad's calling,
but
grandma's
that's,
call.
I was thinking
yeah.
that
right.
the husbands or the partners. Or
oh,
whatever.
Yeah. For
yeah.
sure.
So they find you somehow, pacify.com. So how, lead us through quickly here, the steps they have to take to sign up and the kinds of protections that you avail them in keeping this account just between the breast, the baby, and the firm.
Right. So, well, there's lots of, so how do clients find us? That was your question, correct? Great. So there's four ways that people can get Pacify. The first is anybody can buy it right now. Anybody that needs some help can just go to their app store or their Google Play store, download the app to their phone, and you pay about $40 per month for unlimited care. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
The second,
for 3 minutes delay.
You get help in 3 minutes. That's right. I like that little add-on, Claudia.
No, smart. I meant within the 3 minute
correct.
Time
yeah.
it turns around.
It's very easy sign up. We take into consideration we don't want you entering tons and tons of data. It's very simple what you enter to get the app on your phone. You know, these are and we can talk about this, the people that are staffing the app, but that's the first way. The second way is the baby shower gift. So for instance, Vivian and I could go to our best friend Julia's baby shower and gift her Pacify, and that's about a 3 month subscription for about $99, which is a nice little price point for a baby shower for somebody to split it. And then the third is the employer route, which a lot of employers are very interested in signaling to their employees that they care and they care about their expanding families. And
the moral capital they roll out.
I gotta tell you, there's nothing better, I think, than a company to signal to their employee, we want to help you through this process. And if we can, you know, we certainly have thousands of articles to show that breastfed children are healthier. It just happens. And so if they're healthier, that means that the people that are working are going back to work. They're not staying at home with sick children. And so if companies can support breastfeeding, they're definitely signaling to us they want to. And so that's something that we've started doing is helping companies to gift Pacify to those employees that have babies. And the fourth and most important thing that we do is we work very heavily in the WIC program,
okay.
the Women, Infant, and Children program, and Medicaid. And what we do is we give Pacify for free to these moms so they can access Pacify when they need. And I think one thing I want to say that's really important is about 95% of women have smartphones in the birthing window. And so this makes a whole lot of sense. These people, these moms in this, they use their phones for everything. You see it even when you're driving down the street. You see these people clustering on their phones. You see moms with babies on their phones. We're meeting them where they are. And so in those four cases, that's how the clients find us.
Okay. So on the other end then are these professionals that are offering this the guidance, the offering, extending the lifeline. So talk about how you vet these people that are taking the calls.
Oh, my favorite thing to talk about. So I have, and I love having one sitting right next to me right now. I have about 600 to 700 people waiting to work for Pacify right now.
Wow.
Yes. About 600 to 700 people waiting to work for our company, which is very, very lovely. And it makes me very, very happy. And I have about 100 plus people that work for us currently. And I get very emotional about this in a very good way.
Yeah,
and
understand.
I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
Because I walk around paying people, because women are paid to be part of our
That's
app.
It's valuable professional service.
I'm giving people jobs. And I get to pick people that I like, that I feel are going to take care of moms the way I would take care of moms. So I've interviewed lots of people I don't hire, Claudia. Just there's, and Vivian would probably agree, lactation consultants have hearts, but some of them don't always understand that some women have a really hard time breastfeeding, and we need to be extraordinarily sensitive to that and know when to stop pushing. And so when I'm interviewing people, one of the questions that I ask is, how do you feel about infant formula? Remember?
Right. Right.
Oh, wow.
Because I think it's a very interesting thing to ask what somebody's opinion is. And I get these, I can tell who's being honest and who's not. And it's a real weeder for me.
Like if it's an orthodoxy, like to stay the heck off of the tin.
We have to be very careful. I can't tell you how many women, even before Passovi, came into my office and I asked about their lactation history and they would start to cry. Even if they were in my office for a kid who had food allergies, even if it had been 5 years since they breastfed, they would cry when I'd ask them. And they'd say, and Vivian, I'm so sad to say this, but so many of them said, a lactation consultant made me feel inadequate. So the people that are staffed on Passovi are not those kinds of lactation consultants. They are lovely, qualified people. Many of them are registered nurses. Some of them are advanced practice nurses. I have a couple medical doctors on there that are also IBCLCs. We have registered dietitians who have a beautiful amount of experience in pediatrics and the WIC program.
Just a reminder, that's the International Board of Lactation Consultant.
Yes, the highest credential you can have as a lactation consultant. IBCLC. Thank you for that clarification. So it's an interview process, and there's a lot of regulations that we have to go through and discussions about how we deal with, because they are answering the video.
So, well, we've from these certifying agencies, organizations.
Well, you know, we have an expectation about how people answer. It is in video, right? And so this is something that we take very seriously about how you answer. What, you know, little things like what you're wearing, what's your background look like? Is your dog, you know, climbing on top of your head? We don't want any of that. We want it to be treated as a clinical experience. And it is. I mean, mm-hmm. I hire very professional people. And so there's HIPAA compliance work that we have to do. I think it's very, very important that we need to talk about.
Privacy protection.
Privacy protection, correct. And so we take this all very seriously. And it's something that's embedded in their training.
For those of you who've just joined us, my guests are Melanie Silverman, registered dietitian, international board certified lactation consultant, and chief clinical officer for Passovi, and Vivian Earthman, pediatric nurse and lactation consultant, about the Passovi.com app that is aiding new families with how this whole breastfeeding regimen as works. And this is, you're listening to Ask a Leader on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and streaming around the world at next to nursing chairs at www.kuci.org. So we're talking about how you qualify them. So you have plenty of indicators, reliable credentials to go from when you're meeting them. And are you seeing them in person as well, or is it always remote?
That's what's so funny too. I have such a love for my fleet. I look at their names all the time. I am texting or video calling or test calling. And so I have this relationship with them that if I do happen to see them at meetings in person, or I saw Vivian today, it feels like I'm seeing a celebrity a little bit because I see them and I have such a love for them. But I want to point out one other thing that I think is really interesting, and that some of my fleet is very diverse. So what's neat for me is, again, I want to help these moms. That's why Passovi exists. But I really just want to make this very public that I'm giving some jobs to people that may have a hard time getting jobs. So I have people on the network that may have been who are lactation consultants and nurses that may have been dealing with some kind of an illness and they can't work.
Anything.
Right.
And it could be a family matter.
Could be anything. So it could be lactation consultants that just had children that can't go out to the hospital yet that are working on our network. Or it could be women that have retired that love what they do, because really good lactation consultants love this work. And they just want to keep their feet in it. They want to travel. They want to enjoy retirement. They can't let go of their profession. Passovi gives them that opportunity to keep up.
So, Melanie, tell us physically, geographically, where all of these women are. Because it's all women. I mean, I don't understand that men are providing this service.
Right. Well, my fleet happens to be a pretty diverse group of women providing care. I have to be honest, I do not know a percentage of people that are lactation consultants who are male. I don't know. My fleet happens to be female. They're all over the United States. I have somebody in Puerto Rico and Canada. And, you know, in lots of different ways, we help people. So, for the WIC program, we take care of the entire state of Mississippi, the entire state of Nevada, Washington, D.C. district-wide, Virginia, West Virginia is coming on board. We're having talks with lots of other states that are interested in using Passovi. There's 4 million births a year in the United States, and what we want is for every single person to have Passovi on their phones.
So I'm just wondering about how this dance works. When I would apply for this app, do I get to ask for somebody who's in my region and they know the kind of sort of healthcare providers, or they know the sort of the geographic thing. I'm holding off on sort of cultural awareness for a little bit later,
sure.
But we'll open that up entirely. But so do I get to opt in, sort do I get a little box that I get to check off what kind of a lactation expert I want to be working with?
Right. Well,
and where they are?
Right. So at this time you don't. But the neat thing about the International Board Certified Lactation Consultant certification is that we are all certified the same. So if I had a lactation consultant in Nigeria or Israel or Australia, we're all trained the same. We take the similar exams. So what's neat for me is I've spoken to people internationally, we all, and they counsel similarly. So that levels the clinical recommendations, Claudia, in a really, really, really nice way. And so that helps to make care more consistent.
Essential.
We do have hopes. That's a technology lift that you're discussing, which is interesting. Yeah, it'd be so nice to have women in the South pick up for our Mississippi moms we just have a very special relationship with Mississippi. We love them very much. But what's beautiful too is we have safety nets built in place. So let's say there is a question. Let's talk about this. Let's say there's a question from somebody in Mississippi that needs help and one of my California lactation consultants picks up. We have safety measures in place where they can reconnect, that the lactation consultant can say, hey, you know what? This is such a great question. Let me go find the answer and I'll give you a call back. But that doesn't happen a ton. It's usually the questions that are coming in are very straightforward. Would you say that's true, Vivian?
Yeah.
For the
yeah.
most part.
Yeah.
Very straightforward stuff that Vivian's okay. answered, you know, 10,000 times already. But we do have measures in place. If we have to connect people for certain reasons or ways, we will do that.
Your website offers support in both Spanish and English. Are you going to be adding more languages eventually?
Yes. Oh, for sure. So we have providers that speak Arabic. We have providers that speak Mandarin. We have providers that speak French. And so we are connecting moms. The neat thing I will say about the Spanish has just been amazing. And the moms have reported this to us, that they, when we press the button, you automatically, if you registered in Spanish, you're automatically routed to a Spanish-speaking lactation consultant immediately. So you don't have to do anything. And so for these moms to get a Spanish-speaking provider right there, right then, they didn't have to do anything, is they have described as kind of luxurious and yeah. really supportive. So we feel very proud about that network that we've built.
So let's talk, though, about the cultural divides that the lactation consultant must navigate. How are you able to, you can parse some of that with your screening and all that kind of a thing, but is there some kind of protocol, a tutorial or some kind of training that you're able to ascertain their abilities and make sure that stays central to mm-hmm. their delivering mm-hmm. their expertise?
Great question. Something we take very seriously. I will tell you that so the people that we hire already have worked in hospitals or WIC programs. So their exposure to the human condition and all that comes with it is vast. And so they know, they're not restricted to, I've only seen this set of people this time, especially people that work in hospitals, Vivian, wouldn't you say it's true?
Right.
We see so much humanism and so many different
right.
kinds of people with different families, different cultures, religions. And so I think that just baseline, the people that we hire have that understanding on how to be sensitive to that. We've never had, you know, any kind of problem with that. I think, again, people that go into the profession, usually
right.
they go in already usually with very open minds.
Right.
And so it helps tremendously to not pass judgment or say this, that, or the other about somebody that calls. And we try to keep a very open mind about that.
Well, it also occurs to me that the career that they have taken on, it's relating to somebody on such a fundamental kind of level that it's all about aiding that person with that clinical situation
mm-hmm.
so that maybe those cultural trappings in some way don't really sort of ding that kind of interaction, I'm thinking. But there are other cultural awarenesses about that I could see coming into play, but maybe there's a predisposition to being fundamentally empathic with lactation consultants. But it seems like, I think from my white privileged background, I keep reassessing
yeah.
what kinds of assumptions I've made that are inappropriate mm. in situations.
I think too, my lactation consultants too, I think this brings up such an excellent point. It's very important we're discussing this. They will ask. If I'm unsure about something, the best thing to do is admit and ask. right? Please tell me what's proper. Please tell me, is this appropriate? And I think that it's really, to admit that and to ask is really important on how to best help a mom. So I may say, because I do actually pick up calls, not a lot, but I want to really feel what my lactation consultants feel and my dietitian, so I will pick up. You know, Claudia, I think what was interesting is the dietitian aspect is more along those lines because of food versus right. lactation, because this is what I've always said. I've seen patients in my 20 years of business who have private jets, private chefs, everything you can imagine, every privilege under the sun, and I've seen women in such poverty in the south side of Chicago, their questions about lactation are the same. It doesn't matter. It levels the playing field, this breastfeeding thing. Okay. Yeah. So they ask the same questions. And so that is, you know, that's kind of the beauty of it, I think.
Now, while we're on the cultural chapter here, what kind of calls have you gotten in during Ramadan?
I think we've had some. Have you ever taken a call about Ramadan?
No.
So I think
there must be something.
Well, people worry about their milk supply. So I feel like there have not been a lot, but I will say I think there's been a handful because I actually review all the charts that have come in and there have been lots of them. And so I do recall questions regarding, will my milk supply be okay?
Because they can't even hydrate for that time.
I know it.
And during the summer months when Ramadan is scheduled, then that's the much longer stretch of non-hydrating.
Right. So. And so my lactation consultants know, I mean, there has to be extreme situations of famine or something dehydration that really affect a mom when her milk supply will go down. The mother's body is really tuned to keep that supply well, even if she's not getting the best nutrition. And this is only for daylight hours, correct?
Right. But now that I think about it, that women that are in special situations are given a dispensation and do not have to fast and do not have to suspend drinking. So my question is really...
I do think people have asked, though.
I think people have... To see how observant they have to be.
Yeah.
Well, I guess one of my wide-eyed questions is because of the Affordable Care Act has now been hit hard with a new ruling out of the Texas circuit. So I want to know if the Affordable Care Act changes, if that changes the kind of clientele questions, the level of complexities that some people might be maybe not enrolling. They're getting less services delivered to them. I don't know if the ACA has any kind of a factor in the kinds of interactions that you have.
Right. So right now, like I described the four different ways that people will get PACIFY, for the Women, Infant, and Children program, that is actually funded through something called an operational adjustment grant. And so we actually will apply with the state to help the program funded that way. So we're not directly working with insurance yet. But I will say, and this is very exciting to report, that there are many physician groups and hospitals that are recognizing, this is really interesting because if we can, we would keep these women healthier, we'd keep them out of the ER. Perhaps we need to take a look at this and give this to these moms and trying to find funding that way. And so I think that's on the horizon. I have a lot of hope and we'll see what happens with that. But we're not, at this time right now, we're not feeling the effects of that.
Okay. And actually, in this sub-region in Orange County, you're very well positioned with a receptive donor in the Samueli family that are now underwriting $200 million kind of an endowment that now we've got. It's called the Samueli Healthcare Center. Mm. And so with maybe that mindset and that leadership that they offer, there may be a golden opportunity for you to institutionalize a whole lot more than you already have in this area.
I'll talk to anybody who will talk about it.
Susan Samueli, she's waiting for your call.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's part. Then you're getting more and more collaboration. Every week is a whole new world in people that are wanting to get involved with how this lifeline is extended to all of these people.
That's what's been so exciting is the growth I've seen in the last 4 years, sitting there thinking about talking to Ben in my kitchen and then, you know, catapult over to right now even. And we've really done a lot of good. But ultimate goal is, you know, I remember this every day I get up working is there's 4 million women in the United States. 2 million of them are roughly have less income. It's harder for them to access care, harder for them to pay for it. We certainly concentrate on those two million, but I want everybody to have this. It should be standard of care in the United States.
Well, I think it says so much about the kind of fragmentation in our society where this role was all filled by the extended family
yes.
members. The red tent was pretty big, but so I guess you're kind of the movable tent.
Well, I love that you bring this up. I have a beautiful story to tell you about a woman.
Please do.
Yes, I'd like to tell this story about a woman from a country in Africa who called many, many times on our network, and I picked up one of the calls, and she said to me, I just want to tell you something, that if I didn't have Pacify, I would have nothing. My entire family is in Africa. I have no one here to help me. They're on a different time zone, and you pick up every single time. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This was about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And so, yes, we are a mobile red tent, so to speak. And it's very, very gratifying work. The calls are not long, although I encourage my lactation consultants to stay on as long as they want. I think Vivian knows I'll always say, just call the mom back. Do whatever you need to do. Help this mom. But we solve a lot of problems in about 10 or 15 minutes, which is really nice for people to get back to their children.
So one little question out from out in left field, but we have a sort of a vaccination kind of some blind spots about whether those are warranted at different ages of the newborn's life. So I'm just wondering if you get questions about immunizations, and Pacify is there to break the tie if there's some kind of conflict about whether or not to vaccinate.
Right. So we have had questions like that. I will tell you that I have read questions about that. I have to say this, that I think that is sometimes a one-stop shop. It's like an ER. We treat them, we treat them. We don't have that kind of relationship that a medical doctor or a nurse practitioner or somebody in a pediatric office has with this family. So I believe my lactation consultants, and I've seen this before, would circle them back to their pediatrician to have that discussion about vaccinations.
Okay.
I think it's out of our scope of care, I'm going to say it loudly, to tell people to do that. I think it is absolutely something that a person should talk to their pediatrician about.
So that's something you need to impart to your fleet then. Everybody has to know how to say that.
Yeah, and I think people...
And that could come up in so many different ways.
Yeah, I think it could, but again, all I know is I've read all these charts that are coming in, and some of them are, you know, out in left field here and there. Maybe Vivian has taken those things, but they really pretty much stay within the realm of lactation. Latch. Am I doing this right? Is the baby's poop look right? You know, is he urinating enough? How am I going to go back to work? How am I going to pump? Is this medication safe? I mean, very common types of questions. I think we talk about our scope of care a lot. I have, you know, training on the scope of care and our guidelines. So it's an excellent question, but something I think is very important for a medical doctor to talk to moms about and dads.
For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Ask a Leader on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. My guests today are Melanie Silverman, registered dietitian, international board certified lactation consultant and chief clinical officer for Pacify, and Vivian Earthman, pediatric nurse and lactation consultant, talking about this Pacify telephone app for people to get the information they need within 3 minutes of placing that call. So we're talking about this exceptional lifeline here as we begin the new year 2019. So let's have you give us a few more case studies. You've sort of circled around it in a tangential way, but I think there's nothing like giving us like a whole couple of case studies that tell us what it's like and how this works.
Yeah.
Maybe let's let Vivian give us some of her recent ones, because I know they're very heartrending and fulfilling for you to be involved in this. And so it'll help all the listeners understand how this actually works and how it's fulfilled you.
Okay. You know, some of the calls are very simple. Sometimes it might be a video call, a WIC counselor calling just to say, hey, I just want to introduce you to a new mom or a pregnant mom. And this just wanted to show her how the app works, you know, just saying hello. So it's simple like that. And then, you know, we get other ones that are just, you know, moms might be in a lot of pain because of possibly mastitis, and they're just so happy to relieve to get some help. And you can send them in the right direction and give them some physical relief, hopefully, with your advice.
And mastitis is when the breast is super, super firm and not. Is there a blockage in?
Yeah, a mastitis is an infection. Yeah, and all that comes with that. So the moms don't feel very good. And so, you know, that in that case, that situation, you know, we would recommend the mom call her OB or her, you know, her doctor. But yeah, see, people are just so grateful to have someone to talk to, get some advice, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Any other specific kinds of conditions or just maybe the setting specific to that person, how they were?
Another thing that crops up very often is moms will often call for, can I take this medication while I'm breastfeeding? This is a very common one. And sometimes, you know, there's a simple like cold medicine thing. And there is actually is NIH, National Institutes of Health website where you can look up any medication to see if it is safe while you're breastfeeding. I had a call recently that it was I guess mom was pretty scared. She was taking a very strong antibiotic and her OB doctor said, look, you're going to have to pump and dump, meaning pump your breasts and throw the milk out, which is...
And the pumping is always so that the supply never dwindles.
Right, right. So that's usually a huge no-no these days. I mean, unless you're on some pretty dire schizophrenic medicine or something like that. So, you know, I actually, that mom, I said, you know, I want to make sure that you're totally comfortable with this. I'm going to look this up myself and call you back. And so I felt comfortable telling her I wanted to read it up myself. And I directed her. I said, you can read more about this on, it's safe. Basically, there are no adverse effects for the baby, but you can read about the studies that, you know, have been done on this. So, you know, it's pretty serious. I mean, there's some pretty, you know, significant medications that sometimes people have to take, and moms want to know that they can still breastfeed, and it's really important.
One thing that I've learned from Vivian's talking about her personal experience is that nursing, breastfeeding, is not an option for women that have been sexually abused sometime in their life. And so is that an element that has come up in any specific kinds of encounters that you've had? And you're able to sort of literally call them out of the tree and say, this suggest means for working through that venal history of theirs, mm-hmm. that they've survived, and how they can move forward to getting to reap the benefits for themselves and for their offspring, mm-hmm. the breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm. So this is a very sensitive topic that I think is important to talk about. And all I know is what I've seen in the charts and what I've experienced when I've talked to people. And what I find that's interesting about the women in the birthing window is they come clean. They will tell you what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I've had some people say, I don't feel comfortable directly breastfeeding my baby for various reasons. They may explain why, but I would like you to teach me how to pump my milk. I feel better doing that. And so, again, I have this fleet taking these calls who I believe take care of moms that have sensitivity around breastfeeding. And I think everybody would be very supportive if a mom states what she needs to do, maybe why, and that she wants to get the breast milk and the baby still. So it's a very personal thing and something that every single healthcare professional that works with a mother needs to be aware of. Right. That it's some people choose not to breastfeed for various reasons, and that may be one of them. And so right. I think it's very important to be respectful and be cautious when you're asking questions or probing too. It's a very delicate balance with a situation like that, but a great right. question.
Are there other kinds of factors like that one that require additional expertise?
I think if a woman's had breast cancer before,
okay.
or right. mastectomies or...
Or implants.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Oh, sure.
So what do you say?
I think it's, don't you think, Vivian? Well, it's part of the history. So when so this is what happens. This is classically what happens,
okay,
Claudia.
Perfect.
So people call in and immediately they say, I don't know if I'm doing this right. I can't latch my baby. And they tell me this whole story. And I always have to back up. Do you always have to back up and say, okay, let's back up for just a second. I got to ask you a couple questions and I'm gonna get to what you need.
Oh, wow.
So I'll say, how old is your baby? They don't even tell you how old the baby is. And it makes a big difference if you're talking about a 5-day old or you're talking about a 5-month old.
Right.
And so I really have to kind of get to what has happened. Any histories. I ask a lot. Any past medical history I need to know about. Have you ever had any breast surgeries? Do you mind? And I always say this, do you mind telling me that? I know it's sensitive to ask, but please, it helps me to formulate a better recommendation for you if I really have all the knowledge.
Right.
Do you think that's right, Vivian?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't usually say, do you mind telling me that? I just usually ask them because they're usually willing to tell you. Yeah.
They do.
I mean, that's the template.
Yeah. I'm a little... I don't know. Maybe I'm overly sensitive about it because they are calling for help and they're pretty open. But I think stuff like that, I may just ask, is it okay if I ask about medications, previous surgeries? Because that will explain to me if they're talking about milk supply and they've had previous surgeries, that's a really important clue for us. So if they have thyroid, past medical history of some kind of a thyroid issue, right?
Right.
So those are the kinds of things. But these are, again, these are lactation consultants. We're trained to evaluate the situation and take a really nice snapshot of what's going on before we give the recommendations. But look, everything you're bringing up, you know, any kind of sexual abuse or any breast cancer in the past or breast surgeries or any, this is all really important stuff that is helpful for us to give a better recommendation for these moms that call. That's what we're in the business to do.
So what are some essential missing elements that you would add into this plan? And you can even include those that might require like an infinite amount of additional resources.
Oh, I love this question. I have thought about this a lot. And if I had the money and I wanted to just boom this, you know, I've said this a couple times before already, and I mean it, all 4 million women that deliver babies in the United States should have Passify on their phones. They need it. We've shown from other studies, we have a great study in Mississippi that we had an extension of breastfeeding by 10% at 3 months and 6 months. It extended it by 10%.
Wow.
We Passify works. And so what I would do is I would find a way through insurance companies, employers, anything, government, to put Passify on everybody's phone. And not only that, but also in WIC offices, put tablets in there. They're understaffed with lactation consultants. I was in Nevada with George. We went to a WIC clinic. They have a lactation consultant come once a month for that whole city. They should have a lactation consultant available every single time the office is open. There are a bunch of really, really important breastfeeding lines around the country, Claudia, that are actually audio lines. We are very proud to say we just took over the Tennessee breastfeeding hotline. So we do we took over that state, which has done a superb job of supporting Tennessee moms. I cannot begin to tell you how proud I am of that state. And they have this Tennessee breastfeeding hotline and everybody knows about it. We've got a lot of moms calling in from there. And what I would do with unlimited resources is find every single breastfeeding line in the country and make sure those lines are supported 24/7, because there's lines around, but maybe they're only open 8 to 5.
Right.
Monday through Friday.
Nothing happens then.
Or they're maybe not vetted quite the same way. I mean, there's just all kinds of ways that could not quite be the 100% offering.
Perhaps, but the biggest thing, and I think this is what Vivian's getting to, is there is not a baby I know that understands the difference between day and night. They are going to have their problem at 3 a.m, and the mother should get the help the minute she needs it. And it's because, you know, time is of the essence with breastfeeding. And if we don't get that mom the help, she's at risk for losing her milk supply. So what I want to do is just slather Passify all over everybody's phones, tablets, in pediatrician offices, so that the hotlines, so that this care is given 24/7, 365, which we give now.
How about medical schools too? I mean, just
look, because that's a whole nother. That's, oh my gosh, I could talk about this for another hour. That's a whole nother issue of educating to be pediatricians, but really everybody. I've got a local ER.
Obstetricians and pediatricians.
I'm telling you, I have a local ER physician here in Orange County who's an angel, who basically could take the lactation exam because he does so much lactation consulting in the ER that he says to me, Melanie, we should have tablets in ERs, right? Oh, so that if women do go in, they press the lactation button and, you know, they're not, it's $1,000 to walk into an ER for an hour probably. Right.
You sit there for six hours.
Yeah. So that's my hope. That's my goal. What do you think?
MoveOn.org. Because I'm thinking that, and I don't know if you have any means for rolling out and presenting in your various dog and pony type shows that the return on the investment is massive. And it's actually, you've become actually a public good. This is a public health kind of infrastructure you've built.
Thank you. Yes. I mean, again, I feel very strongly this should be standard of care. And the ROI is slowly coming out. The work out of Mississippi, we've got a couple research studies out of the RAND in Pennsylvania. And so these are really important things that we're trying to show. But I got to tell you, I knew we'd show that. I knew we'd show it the minute I signed up for Pacify. You know that there's going to be a return on investment with this kind of stuff because people are getting the help they need. And again, I want to dump as much breast milk into a baby as possible, get it out of the mom and dump it into the baby. And, you know, when you get help the minute you need it, it respects the production of breast milk and keeps the mom breastfeeding. So, and we know that from the Mississippi data, which is very exciting.
So I can kind of see, you know, how we can date things. We can carbon date things. I mean, Pacify makes a big enough sort of inroad. We can just sort of see going through cohorts since the inception of Pacify.com's app. We can see health outcomes improving. Yeah. But there's a lot of headwinds in terms of other things that are making people's health, public health lives confounding them. But I can imagine that the longer that baby is the beneficiary of the complex breast milk, that it will have a huge benefit for the full lifespan for them.
Yeah, we see that. That's what's so beautiful is that the data is there. The thousands of articles supporting better health for mom and baby is there. And just to see that Pacify extends breastfeeding rates in the state of Mississippi supports that data. So you'd say, oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, we can put a number to this. And it's really important, I think, for convincing people this is important to give to moms.
Well, you've told everybody how to get a hold of you. Are there any other, are there any events coming up that people should know about locally or nationally where they can, I mean, do you go to, there's the La Leche League has their Memorial Day time of their convention, but is there any place people can see a demonstration or something like that?
Well, anybody can just get in touch with me at melanie@pacify.com. If you have any questions, Melanie, M-E-L-A-N-I-E, @pacify.com. Also, our website, there's a contact page that we'd love to hear from anybody. We have a beautiful team from Washington, D.C., and me out here in Laguna Beach, California. And so we work very closely together, so you can get in touch with us that way. We demo the app all the time, which is really exciting, and we can do that for you. And so people just need to let me know what questions they have.
Well, this surely has been a revelation and a pleasure. Thank you for all your time today, Melanie and Vivian.
Thank you.
Thank you. This has been great.
And Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you.
To you too.
My guests were Melanie Silverman, registered dietitian, international board certified lactation consultant and chief clinical officer for Pacify, and Vivian Earthman, pediatric nurse and lactation consultant with her own practice as well as a contracting role with Pacify. They send out their safety net to those 4 million annually women that are seeking, in the need of, some kind of assistance with making the most of their breastfeeding opportunities. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you. That was my segment that I pre-recorded so they could have their time off. And so I want to now let you know that that was my wrap. Next week, I'm going to have on respected member in the green chemistry community, Martin Mulvihill, who will head up Safer Made, an organization keenly interested in what goes on into the products we literally consume, and then John Spiak, director, chief curator of the Grand Central Arts Center in beautiful downtown Santa Ana, has events to bring to our attention. So I'm going to go out with Ken Nordine's Word Jazz, and it's my baby. Talk with you next week. Thank you for listening, everyone. Happy New Year to one and all.
I want you to know that I love my baby, and my baby loves me.